We've been talking a lot about salvation and what exactly our salvation entails. Last Sunday, I dealt with the word itself that is salvation, and we've talked a little bit about what our salvation is all about, how it is that we have salvation, and one of those key words that we also would consider is the word peace, peace. And so I'm going to ask you to look at Luke chapter 2, verse 29 this evening. Luke chapter 2, verse 29. Luke chapter 2, verse 29. Peace. You know, the devil would produce any kind of emotion possible to keep us from having peace. But I think it's very often the case that when we're facing trials, the first thing that we need to do is identify where it's coming from, who it is that is bringing a lack of peace into our hearts. You know, oftentimes it can be a lack of peace because we're listening to the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and he goes down through lovely and so forth. He goes down through that list and he says, think on these things and the peace of God. You see, we can have a lack of peace because we're thinking about all the wrong things. I don't know about you, but there have been often times in my life when I'll wake up in the middle of the night just worried sick over something. And I lay there and I start worrying about it, and then I think, you know, what good is this doing? Anybody ever been able to grow an inch because you worried about it? Anybody ever fed your family because you worried about it? The only thing I can ever think of that I actually fixed because I was worried about it was when my house sank into quicksand in Paraguay, and Elaine said to me, I said, how about if we leave the floor crooked, I just cut the legs off of one side of the table, right, honey? And then we can sit on the floor. I'll cut the chairs off on one side too so that we can sit there. We'll be level even if the floor is not. And I said, we just cut the window back out and make it square. I had all kinds of good ideas, didn't I? And she said, honey, I want my floor level. And I said, how am I going to make the floor level? Boy, I laid there worrying about it, and I finally fell asleep, and I dreamed about it. That's how much I was worried about it. But in my dream, I actually fixed the house. And then the next morning when I got up, I went out there and grabbed a Paraguayan friend who was there, and I said, let's go over here. We're going to raise my house up. He said, oh, yeah, that house weighs tons. I said, we're going to raise it up. I stuck a fulcrum under it, large piece of wood, and I jacked it up, and I said, start throwing stuff under it until we found the bottom. I'd let the house back down on it. I would keep pushing it down further and further, and finally, the house stayed at a level position. I knew I shouldn't have fixed that house, because later I never did live in it. We ended up moving. But that's the only thing I can ever think of in my whole life where I worried about something and it actually helped in any way, shape, or form. Usually, the facts are that I'll spend a whole night worrying about something, can't sleep, things don't go right. The next day, I'm worse off than I was the day before because now I not only am still worried about something, but I haven't slept either. You ever done that? I have. How many of you have ever done that? I hope I'm not the only one. You know, here I am up here confessing to you that I do that. Well, peace is the opposite part of that. You know what peace is? It's trusting God to do the right thing. When we may not trust man to do the right thing, when we may be looking at things and going, well, I wonder what in the world man is going to do. That isn't our worry. Amen? Amen? You know, since when is God so small he can't take care of that? So Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, verse 29, he says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." He's talking about the peace to be able to face death, to depart this life. He says, "Let me depart in peace. Let me die in peace. Depart from this world in peace." Folks, do you have peace about death? Because if you have fears about death, you're in deep water when it comes to your faith. Because this is the very first issue that God deals with when it comes to our faith. I have had people ask me, you know, how could you go out there into the jungle with cannibals and the snakes and everything else? Yeah, it's a matter of peace because I trust God. God's the one who created snakes. He's the one who created jaguars, tigers, mountain lions, all the critters and things, alligators and the piranha. God created all of them. I don't have anything to fear from them. The only one I really need to fear is God. Amen? You know, fear not doing what he tells me to do and suffering his punishment for it, for that disobedience. But a fear of death? No. I'm absolutely convinced that the only way that I can die is when God says, "Mike, it's time for you to come home to me." I've even talked that over with my doctors. They say to me, well, if you don't want to die young, well, if I wanted to die young, I'd have done that a long time ago, okay? But they'll say to me, if you don't want to die young, you know, then you need to do this. Well, excuse me, I think that God has an appointed time. And I'm not afraid to face death because I know that when I do, it's going to be the Lord himself who's going to accompany me through that death. But how about the peace to actually face life? Sometimes death can seem sweeter than just going through life. And when Luke says in chapter 7, verse 50, "And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace." She was to continue living now in peace. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that the only way you can actually live in peace is to know that everything's all right for you to even die in peace. A person who's trying to cling on to life has a fear all the time. Folks, can I live one more day than what God has already said that I'm going to live? Is it possible? Now, if I know that that's the case, then I have to live every day in the light of that peace. I can remember when Delis Talavera pulled a gun on me back in Paraguay many, many years ago now. And you would have thought that I would have been shaking, looking down the wrong end of a barrel. But it was him that was shaking. He was shaking. In fact, he was shaking so hard, I was afraid he was going to pull the trigger because he was shaking too hard. I didn't have any fear, and I can honestly say that, of what he could do to me because I was confident that God had my life in his hands. And if that was his appointed time, then it was his appointed time. The peace to face life comes because we also have a peace that we can face death. In John chapter 16, again the Bible talks to us about peace. He says in John 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Is there any obstacle out there that could cause you tribulation that our Lord has not already taken into account? Anything? I've had people say to me, "Is it safe to go to Israel on a tour group? You know, those Arabs are always bombing everything." Let me tell you something. I wouldn't think it was safe for anybody who didn't know the Lord. But for somebody who doesn't know the Lord, it's not safe to leave your house. And in fact, in your house, there are too many dangers. How can you actually think that anywhere in this world is safe when you're outside the will of God? Is there anywhere? You can be walking down the street in Los Angeles and have somebody just shoot you out of their car and leave you dead on the street. You could have that happen in any city in the United States. You could send your kids off to school in some very peaceful community in the Midwest and have some guy show up to school with a gun and shoot everybody that he can. Do you realize there is nowhere in this world that's safe if you're looking at it from a humanistic point of view? When I think of, you know, people back east, they say, you live in California where they have earthquakes? I can't imagine that. You know, the whole state's going to break off and fall into the Pacific Ocean. And I joke with them. I say, yeah, we say that it's going to break off and the rest of the United States is going to fall into the Atlantic Ocean. You know, folks, is there anywhere in this world that there are no natural catastrophes? You know, in Florida, they don't have earthquakes, right? At least they haven't for a long, long time. But guess what? They have hurricanes. Which one would you rather go through? A hurricane or an earthquake? And in the Midwest, when Elaine and I were going to school in Wisconsin, they'd have tornadoes that rip through there. And you know something? I used to think, I've been through an earthquake. I've been through a hurricane. But man, a tornado is really scary. Boy, you ever seen what a tornado will do? You know, a hurricane may blow your house down, may flood the whole area. But a tornado, your house can be the only one on the whole block that gets destroyed. And it's gone. You know, maybe your toilet is still there. I've seen that happen, where the whole house is gone except the toilet and the chimney sometimes. And I go, wow, that's awful. What happened to the guy who was in the bathroom when the tornado came? Do you know that in the Midwest, they tell you to hide in your bathroom? And the only thing left in there was the toilet? Folks, there's nowhere in this world that you can find safety if you're an unbeliever. You can go to the Middle East, where they don't have hurricanes and they don't have tornadoes. And what do they got? A bunch of crazy people that'll blow you away as soon as they look at you. Okay? So tell me, where is it safe? Where is it safe? I don't find that place. What I do find is in the palm of God's hand. Doing what God tells me to do, I know He's with me. And He holds my hand. Right during the riots, 1992, I took Elaine and Shelley, and we went down right where they were burning the gas station across the street from the house I was visiting, talking to somebody about coming to our church. You know what? If God be with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? I'm not just saying be crazy, but I'm saying somewhere along the line, when we're doing what God tells us to do, we also have to trust Him to keep us safe in the midst of all the storms. Amen? We also need a peace to face fears. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know that he repeats that actually several times in John 14, verse 1? Let not your heart be troubled. There is a definite command here to not allow fear to control our lives. And ultimately, there has to be a peace to be able to face God. Luke chapter 19, verse 38 says, saying, blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Peace in heaven. I have peace with the God of heaven. Therefore, I'm not afraid of what the devil can do to me. When the devil thought he had his greatest victory, when he hung the Prince of Peace on a cross, the devil faced his greatest defeat. The devil is a defeated enemy. we do not have to fear him. I do not have to do what he wants me to do and fear that he may bring some sort of retribution upon me. The devil has already been defeated. I'm serving the God of heaven. Now, folks, have you ever actually considered what God was willing to suffer to save your soul? How much was he willing to do to save your soul, to bring about that condition of peace with you? How much did it cost God to be able to declare there's peace in heaven? It cost him the blood of his own son. How much is it worth it to you to see the peace of God brought to someone else as well? Peace. Who do you know that today is facing an existence with no peace whatsoever? And those of us that have the peace of God, what are we doing to try to extend that peace to them? I think of that chorus, "For God so loved the world that..." You know that chorus? "For God so loved the world..." Yeah. "Only Son, to die on Calvary, from sin to set me free. Someday he's coming back, what glory that will be. Wonderful his love to me." Now the second verse. "God so loved the world, then we should love it too. Enough to go and tell the heathen bound for hell. Each native, weak or brave, should know that Jesus saves sinners for eternity." Folks, how much is it worth it to us? The peace of God.